Hello and welcome to Tune and Talk, your rendezvous for animation interviews straight from the animation industry. I am your host, Whitney Grace, and after this long hiatus, which I thank you for your patience, and I will explain why I took such a long one. It includes writing, depression, and the ever-ending need to find money. So, I was working the whole time, traveling across the world, and, well, a lot of stuff happened, but here I am, ready to kick off Tune and Talk once more. So, my fans, what am I going to do on this debut episode after such a long hiatus? I'm going to do something incredible, incredible, wunderbar, ask it, eisen it. Sugoi! And that is all the terms of excitement I know in other languages. But who am I interviewing in today's episode? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have achieved the impossible. After months of calling, begging, stalking, restraining orders. Actually, the last two are just a joke. But I got to interview one of today's premier voice actors. This dude is so busy that it was nearly impossible for me to get on a schedule. But once I finally did, after I used some industry contacts, none, mind you, and I thank you all, you shall remain nameless, but it was a fantastic time because not only did this voice actor do some of his famous voices, but he revealed to me so many fantastic stories. But who is this voice actor, are you wondering? I mean, who could I have possibly gotten to interview that can top anything I have done so far? I mean, I have talked to plenty of people from, well, Dom Bluth, to Brenda Chapman, to, well, I even talked to Henry Selick and Rebecca Sugar. Now, these people I do not have vocalized interviews with, except for Brenda Chapman, but I have conducted interviews with these people for my book, Lotta Reiniger, Pioneer Film Animation, available to you on Amazon and from all fine book retailers, as well as McFarlane.com. But this particular voice actor, he is notorious for not giving interviews. Of course, you'll see him at conventions and he's great. But the reason you don't get to sit down with him and see him on, say, you know, ABC Good Morning or whatever is because he is so busy and so keen on focusing his attention as a voice actor to just being the best that he could be. He's like, I would rather just play golf in my downtime rather than give interviews. And I'm like, hey, dude, I understand. But he finally condescended and said, okay, if I talk with you, will you go away? And I was like, yes, Mr. Welker, I will. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have an interview with none other than Mr. Frank Welker, the premier voice actor of Nibbler from Futurama, Megatron from The Transformers, Abu from Aladdin, nearly every single dog, cat, penguin, bird, raccoon, and any other animal in between in nearly every single cartoon nowadays. And he was also, and continues to be since 1969, Fred Jones from the Scooby-Doo cartoons. And I got an interview with him. How did I achieve this? Well, I already told you. But, well, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is my Frank Welker interview. See you on the flip side. Hi, Frank. It is fantastic that you took the time to talk with me today. Tell me, how did you get started in voice acting?
Let us out of here. We can't stand Frank's story.
Well, I would like to listen to your stories, Mr. Welker. And if the listeners don't want to listen to the podcast, they can simply turn it off. Now for my next question. What is your favorite type of character to voice?
Oh God, not again.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. You probably get that question a lot. Let me ask you another one instead. You voice many animated animals. Is there any animal you can't do? I will take that as a no. Again, Mr. Welker, I'm just... My fault entirely. I just asked you a question you probably get a lot. Let me see if I could do a bit better on the next question. What are some of the difficulties that you find as an actor when you are voicing an animal character who cannot speak a human language? Okay, so let's talk about your characters that do speak human language. Scooby-Doo. You have been involved with the Scooby-Doo cartoon since 1969. You have voiced Fred Jones, the ascot-wearing teen leader of Mystery Inc., who seems to keep everybody together with his cool head. Tell me, how has that character evolved over the years?
Wow, cool ascot. What's your neck size? I'm a 16 and a half, but sometimes it swells out to a 19 when it's humid.
Thank you? But the thing is I'm not wearing an ascot, and we're talking over the phone, too, so... Yeah, that's a bit odd, Mr. Walker. But anyway, what have you done? Yes, you have also... played the evil Megatron for years in the Transformers franchise. Can you tell me why Megatron just can't take a hint and surrender already? He's never going to beat the Autobots or Optimus Prime.
I have been wise to your transgressions from the beginning.
Transgressions? What transgressions?
Not only did you pluck the dark Energon from my chest in a failed attempt to snuff my spark, but you tried to raise your own undead warrior with it.
For the record, I've never drank a cup of coffee in my life. I don't know what brew Dark Energon is, but I don't even want to try it. And second, the Army of the Undead? I don't know how you heard about that or who told you about it, but I'm under an NDA, and if you talk any more about that, I will have to sue. My zombies are my own business.
Despite your treachery, I've allowed you to carry on this long because I took a certain delight in following your string of failures. But you've finally become tiresome, predictable. You've hit rock bottom.
Hey now, let's not get personal here. I don't know how you learned about my personal history and it with addiction, but it's no laughing matter. Especially the type of addiction I suffer from. I'll just come out and say it. I have a sugar addiction. My name is Whitney Grace, and I have a sugar addiction, and I'm going on my 60-day chip now. I'm a member of Sugar Addictive Anonymous. And Mr. Welker probably caught wind of the disaster that happened in Germany when I visited them last year in the chocolate factory. And yes, I did end up getting kicked out of Deutschland, but after I apologized, paid for the damages. I mean, it's just embarrassing thinking about it, but you know, one of the first things they teach you in Sugar Addicts Anonymous is, you know, it's in the past, you can change your present, and, you know, admitting your problem, and I did. Again, I paid for the problem. I apologize. It's too late. The Germans were like, das ist alles. Das ist gut. And I also told them that I wrote a book about one of the pioneers of animation, Lotte Reiniger, who happens to be from their country. And I also, you know, said, you know, I'm German too. In my ancestry, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. And they're like, sehr gut. So I'm now allowed back in Germany. Switzerland. Yeah, that's another story. I'm still working on that. But, Mr. Welker, you can't really hold it against me. I mean, I'm making steps toward appeasement and reparations with the Swiss. It's not my fault they make such good Toblerone chocolate and Swiss Miss hot cocoa. You can't blame me. If they don't want people to come to their country, declare anarchy, and annex chocolate factories, well, they need to say that in customs when you're going to cross the border. And now I understand why they are neutral. Moving on to the next question. Mr. Frank Welker, what is the weirdest character you've ever auditioned for? Okay, I won't go there. However, Mr. Welker, I know you are a busy man, so thank you for your time. Now, I am going to end this interview with a question that I ask every single person on Tune and Talk. Do you have anything to declare?
The universe is doomed. Doomed! Doomed!
Okay, well, everybody likes to say that the politics of the current and present time are the end of civilized society, so hey, I guess everybody, we're doomed! Well, and that wraps up another interview on Tune and Talk. I am your host, Whitney Grace, and now if you excuse me, I'm gonna go down in my bunker and wait for all the nukes to go off. I'll see you next time, everybody. If there is a next time. April Fools! If you didn't catch on after the first question, this interview was one big April Fool's joke. And Mr. Frank Welker or any of your known associates or affiliates are listening, this was done with nothing but love and respect, for you are the king of voiceover cartoons, and I simply love everything that Mr. Frank Welker does, and this is just one big joke, not poking fun. If anything, I am poking fun at anyone who cannot take a joke, because that is the point of April Fools, is to just have fun and have a laugh. After all, Mr. Frank Welker, doesn't your golf partner Rob Paulsen say, laughter is free and you can't OD, or something along those lines? So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is a great way to welcome Tune and Talk back. I have interviews that are a little bit old, and I will be searching for some brand new ones. The schedule is going to be up and down depending on my time and availability, and also how much time I need to dedicate to making money to support my production crew of four little dogs and no longer any fish. All the fish have died. I know. That's sad. But they lived a very good long life of 2 years, which is pretty good for a betta fish, I've been told. But moving on, I have been signed up. Yes, let me restate that. I have just signed this fantastic new book contract with another publishing company. Actually, the paperwork is still in the process, so I'm not going to tell you who, and I'm not going to tell you what, but it's going to be about animation, and it's going to be about animation from the 1980s, circa early 2000s, and it's going to be fantastic, and there's no one better to write about it than me, because after all, I am a bona fide animation historian, because I wrote Lotta Reiniger, Pioneer of Film Animation, available to you at Amazon and fine booksellers worldwide. I actually did a little research, and apparently my book on Lotta Reiniger is available in a lot of big university libraries across the world, which is not only flattering, but also very humbling. Oh, and for those of you who do not know, not only am I the writer of a Lotta Reiniger book, but I have also did groundbreaking research on her. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in my downtime, I learned that I am the first person since 1931, in English at least, to conduct groundbreaking research on said Lotta Reiniger, and I am the first person in the 21st century to actually speak with her on any authority related to the animation industry as well as the puppetry community. For those of you who don't know, as well as animation, I'm actually a huge puppetry freak as well. Yes, and freak translates to fan, and fan translates into enthusiast. But literally, groundbreaking research. I mean, I have set the precedent. I mean, anyone who follows me will have to outdo me. And considering I have done a lot, it's going to be pretty darn hard. And am I bragging? Yes. Am I humble? Yes. Do I sound like it? No. But hey, I'm just reciting facts. And I'll talk to you more about how I learned that I was doing groundbreaking research in the future. It basically beats down to some people who knew her, and also to the people in Germany telling me that, yeah, we haven't done this. And then I'm like, what? And then all the light bulbs go off in my head and just kind of flash and then break. And I'm like, wow. So once more, April Fools, Mr. Frank Welker, I love and respect you as a person as well as your career. You are the king of voiceover as well as the champion Foley artist for all sounds animal related in the cartoon world. And, well, this brings us to the end of another episode of Tune In Talk, your rendezvous for animation interviews. I am your host, Whitney Grace, and now if you'll excuse me, my agent is glaring at me and kind of poking me in the shoulder saying, hey, finish that script. Hey, finish that script. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, now I have an agent. And now I have to go sit and stare at a computer screen and write. Oh well, I'd rather not be doing anything else other than reading comic books and wishing that I could have my script from the future so I wouldn't have to do it now. And that creates some sort of time paradox, a loop, and... And now is not the time to think about time paradox or quantum space mechanics. I don't understand it to begin with. I just make them up because I'm a writer and I take creative liberties. I'll see you next time, everyone.